Welcome to another brand new episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about bottle shops and the pints and people you find there. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me as always is a man who is wearing the exact same style of hat that I was wearing 20 minutes ago, Matt Prince.
Hey Jeff, really? Is that true?
Yeah, you're wearing that 1979 Phillies logo hat with the deep maroon and the squiggly in the middle of the P for the baseball. I was wearing that hat a little earlier while cutting my grass.
Nice. Yeah, I also just cut my grass wearing this hat. So
the official grass cutting hat of Take a Shelfie. So you just cut your grass. We've talked before about how rewarding it is to have a nice beverage afterwards. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Tangent American IPA from Tonewood.
Oh, Tonewood in Jersey.
Yeah, it is over in Oakland, New Jersey. I actually acquired this via a trade, not a Instagram trade. This is just my buddy Charlie just picked up a supply from them and said, I've got all this Tonewood beer. You want to make a little trade? And I actually trade them some of my tired hands, sharing the wealth. So, you know, this one in particular caught my eye because it's an all Citra IPA. And Jeff, you know me. I am a lover of all things Citra, but I love Tonewood because they put like a very unique spin on their IPAs. They're not just like straight up hazy IPAs, although this one, as you can see, Jeff, is quite hazy. And I know that last episode I was talking about my hazy IPA fatigue, but I'm excited about this. I'm excited to drink it.
I went on a first date to Tonewood one time.
Oh, the date, nice place for a first date.
Yeah, the date didn't go great, but I mean, it didn't go terribly. She was a very nice person. It just it didn't lead to a second date. It was one of those where you're just like, I'm glad we spent some time together. We're not going to again.
Right, and you got to go to Tonewood. So
and I got to go to Tonewood, I'd never had any of their beers. I'm drinking, Matt. I know you were about to ask what I'm drinking. I'm drinking, yes, Head in the Clouds. It's a Bavarian Hefeweizen from 105 West Brewing Company in Castle Rock, Colorado. I still have a few stragglers left from the beer drop box that I did 3 months of and then sort of stopped. But I have a couple stragglers, and a Hefeweizen is okay to sit around for a little while. So it's a good one to have.
Now, is this like a pretty traditional Hefe? Is there like clove? Are we getting clove? Are we getting banana?
Tons of banana.
Yeah, I can appreciate a good Hefeweizen, but it's just not for me. And I love bananas. I love cloves.
Well, it's actually the only form of banana that I like. The banana esters. I believe the bananas are a scourge on the earth and should be eliminated.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think they're terrible. But a banana ester doesn't bother me at all. Matt, I'm sort of just stalling because I have nothing to talk about. I'm not sure why we're recording. You told me we should record and you had a topic.
Yeah, I do. So I am always on the lookout for new breweries, new beers. And when fall rolls through, you know, I look at Oktoberfest, you know, Fest beers, Märzens. I look at pumpkin ales. I'm in the bottle shop the other day, I'm in Pinocchio's, and I see an interesting looking Oktoberfest from a brewery called Soul Purpose. I believe they're in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I asked Francis if he had had anything from them. And he's like, oh yeah, that's actually same brewery as Greater Good.
What do you mean it's the same brewery as Greater Good?
Well, it's they call them like their brands. So like, it's like one brand is Greater Good. One brand is Soul Purpose. And Greater Good, they claim to be the only all imperial brewery. So they call themselves Greater Good Brewing. And then this Oktoberfest that I got is from Soul Purpose Brewing. But I come to find out that they are owned by the same, it's the same operation, just under a different heading. Now, that got me thinking of other breweries that pull this kind of division, whether it's to maintain their craft size or whether it is to kind of maintain their original identity without while allowing them to brew other beers. So, you know, Greater Good is an all imperial brewery, but this Oktoberfest is not imperial. So then I started feeling kind of iffy about this, and I started looking at other breweries that are doing the same thing. And really what I wanted to ask you, Jeff, is do you think a brewery keeps their authenticity if they decide to do one of these side project breweries? If they decide that if they have like a thing that's their thing and then they do something else on the side, do they still have that authenticity and that thing? Do you still think they can make that other like thing their thing?
So what you're asking me, Matt, is do I think that Greater Good loses authenticity points because they made a non-imperial beer and put it under a different name?
Yes.
Yes, but not for the reason I think you want me to make them lose points.
Okay, so where are they losing points in your book?
Why not just make a non-imperial strength beer and release it under your main name? Who cares?
I guess their mindset is if they do that, then they can no longer print on their can on like the only all imperial brewery. That's like their shtick. That's like,
yeah, but what does that get you? Like, what is being the only all imperial brewery in the world or in Worcester or in Massachusetts get you? I mean, for me, it seems like I'd be more likely to go there if I knew that they had beers that weren't imperial. If I knew that they had beers that, like, I could go and sit in the beer garden and, you know, have one or two. But like, if I'm going to go there and just have one imperial strength beer, and that's sort of going to be my day.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Jeff. The idea of an all imperial brewery isn't appealing to me. That's not an appealing gimmick, and it's not even a gimmick. It's like just the truth. They've decided to make all imperial beers. I don't find that appealing because, like you, I want to have a couple, and like a lot of the time, I am looking for something that's low. Like I went out the other night, and I was looking for all beers with lower ABVs. I mean, I had a Pilsner, I had a fruited sour, and I had an English mild ale. Like I was looking for stuff that's low. But I will go back to the idea that then dissolve that idea of all imperial, just be Greater Good. It's a great name for a brewery, and then do a bunch of different things. Like I don't want just a bunch of 8.5, 9.5 IPAs. I want stuff that's, you know, I want sessionable stuff, especially if I'm going to your spot. But then it got me thinking of like other breweries that do this. And the main one that came to my mind was Jack's Abbey up in Framingham, Massachusetts. They opened up like a whole second brewery, and they called Springdale.
So Jack's Abbey, from what I know of Jack's Abbey, are known for lagers.
It's not just known for lagers. That's all they brew.
Oh, they're exclusively lagers.
They are exclusively lagers.
Didn't know that.
Jack's Abbey, I mean, look at their profile. It's all lagers. Now they have Springdale. No lagers.
So they wanted to make some ales.
Yeah, so they have, like, I remember the first IPA I had from Springdale was a hazy. It was called Good and You. And it was very delicious. They nailed it. It was a great beer. I was really excited about it. They also make a really good coffee stout, I want to say, called Brigadero. They make a wit, you know, a traditional Belgian wit. But Jack's Abbey is, like, they opened on the idea that they're all lagers. But now they're not all lagers.
I mean, my thought is this, and I want you to keep throwing some of these offshoots and main breweries at me, but this is my thought. There's nothing wrong with being known for something, but that not being your only thing.
Right.
There's no reason that, like, so like, I mean, at that point, by that token, like, we'll use our local friends, Tired Hands. Like, Tired Hands could have very well been a French and Belgian only style brewery and then turned their IPAs and milkshakes into an offshoot brewery. But who cares? Like, it's made in the same place. You're just known for a certain kind of beer. Like, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of, I've mentioned before on the podcast, that place I went to in Glendale, California, called Brewyard Beer Company, and they're known for making California Commons, which is not a super common style, but like they all, they like the first beer I had for them was a Saison, so it didn't bother me at all that I was having something that wasn't what they're known for.
Right. And you know, it's funny you mentioned Tired Hands. Tired Hands has a side project brewery. Like they have, they, but that's what the weird part about Tired Hands. This is really what gets me.
Wait, what's Tired Hands making a side brewery for? Like, what?
Okay, so that's the thing, that this is what gets me. So Little Log Cabin is Tired Hands offshoot brewery.
All right.
They've released mostly cleaner hazy IPAs. By cleaner, I mean adjunct free or no lactose in these for the most part. I mean, I think they've actually put lactose in some of them more recently. They're not dropping vanilla in, they're not doing the fruit purees, they're just going basic hazy IPAs. Like, think about like more in line with like Treehouse makes clean hazy IPAs. They're not throwing adjuncts in. That's what Little Log Cabin is doing. They're also doing like a pastry stout. But what I don't understand, on each other's Instagram. So Little Log Cabin is an Instagram, Tired Hands as an Instagram, and they refer to each other as like our friends at Little Log Cabin.
But Tired Hands just makes all sorts of beer. So right. What does it matter that they're making, like, if you want to call it your Little Log Cabin series and the series of beers is dedicated to non-adjunct or like clear or lager, or like if you want to make a series of something and call it that within Tired Hands. But like Tired Hands, I mean, Francis and I, and you don't participate in this, but Francis and I make fun of Tired Hands all the time because it seems like they just throw something new in a beer that they already had and call it something different. So like Tired Hands just makes a ton of variations on beer. So who cares that it's adjunct free? Just call it Tired Hands.
Right. And you know what? And like, to you and Francis, you're you know, jabbing at Tired Hands. Every brewery does that now. I mean, look at breweries that specialize in hazy IPAs. Every brewery, they have like a base. Like Tired Hands is Hop Hands, and they have their base, and they build off that base. But to me, Tired Hands already has like their Brew Cafe series. They have their Trendler series. They have they build all their Saisons off of Saison Hands. Like, and that's built into like Urizen and all their others. What I don't understand is, and maybe I don't have all the information. Maybe they have like an assistant head brewer who's brewing all the Little Log Cabin beers, but I'm pretty sure it's Gene doing the Little Log Cabin beers as well. So that's another one. The brewery, which is a very, very popular brewery out in California. They are like very Belgian, like European Belgian heavy. They make a lot of Belgian triples. They make a lot of, French inspired stuff, barrel aged stuff. But then now they have, and they call it offshoot brewing. Like their side project is called offshoot, and they're doing like hazy IPAs. So like, if you want to brew other things, have confidence in your brand that that's what got you here, but you don't need to change your name to get people to like be okay with you brewing a more mainstream beer.
It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, why not just call it part of a series? Like, here we go again. This is the 400th episode in a row we're going to mention Trogues. But, like, Trogues has a series that they call Scratch. And Scratch is experimental. And it's just like, we're gonna put this together. And if it's good, you know, it will eventually get a name and become part of our rotation. A lot of the Trogues beer we enjoy started as Scratch. I do that, and here's the 400th episode in a row where I'm going to mention home brewing, Drink. But, like, we decided that, like, we were going to call beers that, like, we did a little bit of a change to a recipe we already had, the Prototype series. So, like, we have Prototype 001 was, like, you know, a maple something or other. But it's still under the banner of Third Mortgage. It's still under the banner of Trogues.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
because you're trading on a name that people know. If you're worried that people are going to look at Jack's Abbey and say, well, they make only lagers, and so this hazy or this hefe, you know, I no longer want any of of Jack's Abbey because it doesn't hold the style. That doesn't make sense to me. The only reason you would do it is if you think it's not going to be good and you don't, right. You want to protect your name. But like, if you're going to release it when you're on the commercial scale, if you're going to release it, you're pretty confident it's okay. So why not put your name on it?
Right. Exactly. And maybe they wanted to open a second brewery. Maybe the owner really wanted to do two separate breweries that, while being owned by the same person, they have their own identity and they're not linked to one another. And they use, like, I'm pretty sure they actually each have their own building. That's at least I can appreciate.
I'll give it that.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, they're in the same area. They're like right next to each other, but they're operating separately. I guess my mindset is like, I'd rather know where my beer is coming from. Like, when Francis tells me that, oh, sole purpose is actually greater good, I'm like, well, then just call it that. Like, I know greater good. Sole purpose to me was a new brewery. Now it's not a new brewery. It's just greater good under a different name. And I don't know. I like authenticity. I like a brewery that's willing to embrace their identity, but also be willing to be flexible enough with the movement of the beer industry. And, you know, if Allagash makes an IPA, a regular old IPA, I don't think they're changing their name from Allagash. Allagash just released these, like, really low ABV, like, kind of, like, fruity ales. Like, they're coming out with these kind of, like, low-cal, low ABV, just, like, sessionable ales that are a little bit off-brand for them. But they're rolling with it because that is their identity. They're saying, this is just as much Allagash as White. This is just as much Allagash as Curia. This is just as much Allagash as the Saison. Like, it's part of our identity. It's part of our growing identity. It's something that I appreciate from a brewery. You grow.
Right. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with learning and growing. There's nothing wrong with taking on a new opinion. There's nothing wrong with throwing out an idea. By throwing out, I mean discarding. There's nothing wrong with discarding an idea that you realize was a bad idea. And so, like, you know, if a beer doesn't hold up anymore, and just, you know, throw it away and do a different beer. Like, to do something like this with sole purpose, I don't even know what's the name of the
Greater Good.
See, I don't even know Greater Good. Like, Greater Good doesn't have enough of a names that I, casual beer fan, and I'm more than a casual beer fan, but like, I don't know who Greater Good are. So like, you're losing the fact to build your name as Greater Good, and you're cheating people who think it's a new brewery.
Right.
So like, you're wrong on both counts. And so like you said, if it's a separate building, if it's separate staffs, if it's a different kind of brewers entirely, maybe I'll give you a little bit of leeway. But like, if you're using the same equipment, the same people, it's just you're brewing on Tuesday instead of Thursday, and it's a lager instead of an ale, and it's just fermented differently, just call it Putter of a Series. Put your name on it. Be proud.
Well, like, I even look at a local brewery to us, like Yards. How long did it take Yards to brew a lager? Like, they were all ales. They're the ales of the
Revolution. How long did it take Yards to brew a hazy?
Well, yeah, and I'm not even, but like a lager, like we're in Philly. Philly's built on European brewing customs, and they didn't have a lager. Now they have a Loyal Lager, and for the first time, they came out with an Oktoberfest this year, Unterdog, which is perfect. Like, talk about the spirit of the city, you know, the play on the underdog idea, and those two beers are selling like crazy. Like, but they went out, they put their, you know, neck on the line. They were an ale brewery, and now they're saying, we are inviting lagers into our lineup. Now we have two lagers, and they're lagers that we're going to push out. I would assume that soon we will see like a traditional European Pilsner from them, and they'll be more than proud to put that Yard's name on it. They have their Ales of the Revolution, which are a series, and then they have like their more their IPA and their pale ale. And they've like beers like Pink, and they've had a Saison in the past. They used to have a rye IPA, but now they're doing lagers, and I think it's great. And I think it's that shows like a brewery willing to adjust, and adjust their identity, but add to like, let their identity grow and own it. So that's what I'm looking for. That's what I appreciate a brewery. Now, that being said, I love Tired Hands. That being said, I really am excited to try this Oktoberfest from Sole Purpose. That being said, I've like the brewery offshoot, like their IPAs, people love them.
Yeah, I mean, we're still going to try it. It's just still
good beer, but that's what kind of what I'm getting at is that it's good beer, so own it. Like put the freaking the brewery label on it. Like I'm not going to think any less of you as like a mostly European style brewery if you're pumping out an American hazy IPA. It just shows me that you can brew it and that you're showing us you can brew it, but it's still not the thing that's going to lead your brewery. That's not what you're known for.
Are there any more of these offshoots and main breweries that you want to share?
I'm sure there are more out there. None that I can think of off the top of my head, but like those four. And to me, like the thing that gets me, like Jack's Abbey is like, when you think lagers, like Jack's Abbey comes to the forefront. When you think hazy IPAs, Tired Hands. When you think of like Belgian, European, the brewery is one that you think of. So these are like really well-known breweries that are kind of, you know, with these side hustles that are like, I don't understand the approach. I don't understand the reason, but there could be marketing reasons. Maybe their marketing people are telling them that they should be doing. I mean, you're in communications marketing. Is that a possibility that maybe the marketing people are like, we think we should maybe start like a side hustle, a side project that we can, so we don't have to worry about it conflicting with anything. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for branding, and if you've made your entire brand on one thing, I mean, I understand why, but I just don't know that the casual fan knows enough about you that that's worth protecting. You know, I have had several of Jack Abbey's beers. And it never occurred to me that they were all lagers and they were only lagers. So, I mean, so if that's branding, they didn't do a good job of it because I didn't know that about them. And so like, if I had a beer from Jack's Abbey, now when you get people who are really super engaged. So like, I guess the idea is that like your most engaged fans know what you're known, know what you are, and you risk losing them if you get too experimental and do something different. That's never really been my approach though. My approach has always been the people who truly love us will love us more or less no matter what we do in terms of product that we release. And if there's a chance for me to get a new fan by doing something splashy, might as well.
It's more impressive to me when you branch out and you do something that might be against your comfort zone. That might be not, it's not what you're known for. And I appreciate that because I always appreciate breweries with very deep portfolios. I want to see that you can brew all different styles. That's something that always appeals to me as a drinker. I mean, when I go to a brewery and I see a tap list that has pale ales and lagers and stouts and saisons and porters and fruited sours and hefeweizens and pilsners and like lagers, you know, like that's very impressive to me. And as a drinker, no matter what I want, I'm gonna have an option. Like that to me is the most impressive thing about a brewery. And you know, whatever means you have to do to get to that point, great. But I don't feel like you need to give yourself another name to get there.
So, Matt, I put up an article about offshoot breweries that was actually written in 2015. And it brings up, and I'm scanning here, it brings up two that are really interesting to me. It's the brewery and Brewery Tarot.
Yep.
And Firestone Walker and Firestone Walker Barrel House. Those are technically offshoot breweries, but they maintain because they're separate locations. Like right. Firestone Walker Barrel House is necessarily a separate location because it's wild fermentation and you don't want to get that mixed in with your regular beers, but they still carry the Firestone Walker name. I think really that's truly the best of both worlds, where you have a completely separate line, completely separate staff, and it's a different building where things are happening, but you're able to maintain the integrity or the strength of the original brand.
Yeah, and you know what appeals to me there is, yeah, you know the name. Like, if you're a Firestone Walker fan, you are going to be expecting a certain level of quality that, you know, if you named it something else, you might not have those expectations, or you might not even try it out because you don't know. You're uncertain about the quality. I know that Foam Brewing in Burlington, so there's Foam Brewing, and then their head brewer, he, aside from the brewery that he worked at, he had his own thing that he was doing called House of Fermentation. And Foam was like, hey, you do this like side project, you do this like side thing where you're making all these interesting beers and you're working with all these different like tools of fermentation. Why don't we bring you under the Foam, you know, banner? You're underneath Foam, you're part of Foam. And that's what they do now. So, you know, House of Fermentation is part of Foam. I appreciate that because as someone who, you know, I'm sure you can appreciate this as a home brewer, but as someone who finds all different styles of brewing interesting, I would think that adding like that spontaneous fermentation to Foam's already impressive roster would behoove both the brewery and the head brewer, because the head brewer now has more tools to be able to use, you know, definitely has, you know, more at his disposal to make more of these interesting, wildly fermented beers. And then Foam gets to add something completely off-brand that can bring in a lot of new fans. I like that as well.
Here's a couple did you knows, Matt. Do you know Lost Abbey?
Yeah.
Lost Abbey is a spinoff.
Of?
Port Brewing Company.
You know, I think I did know that. Now that you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know Jolly Pumpkin?
Yeah.
Jolly Pumpkin's a spinoff brewery of Northern United Brewing Company.
Which is weird because I've never heard of Northern United, but I know Jolly Pumpkin.
So that's actually a perfect example, right? Like, we've heard of Jolly Traveler. Like, we've heard of Jolly Pumpkin. We don't know what the original is.
Yeah.
That original, Northern United, North United, I've run away from the window, so I've now forgotten the name.
Yep.
Like, that name could have become big if they had just kept those sour beers that they, you know, that they made Jolly Pumpkin, because that's what it said it started as, like a sour shoot off. Isn't Traveler a shandy?
Yeah. Traveler is a
shandy. So like Jolly Pumpkin, I guess it's now, I mean, that was in 2004 or something like that. It's now like it's a big brewery all on its own, I guess now. Yeah. But so yeah. Like, I mean, there are success stories. But
I don't think any of these side breweries are looking to like be their own thing. I think this is just the brewery deciding that they're gonna keep their original identity. They're not going to alter it at all. But what they're gonna do is they're just gonna kind of cheat the system and make a side brewery that does all the things that doesn't fit into their original plan and their original identity.
And I'd rather you expand your plan and identity.
Yeah, I would too. I do too.
It's more chances for people to get to know you. So like, it's more chances for people to say, oh, I like that beer that I had, this little log cabin beer, if it were part of a series from Tired Hands. I'm going to try Tired Hands. You know, I'm going to get to know more of their beers.
And it might be a size thing. Like, it might be that if they...
Right, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, all the barrels together, they might go to a different size brewery and may lose some of their designations. That's possible. And I get, you know, wanting to remain technically craft or, you know, technically a small independent or whatever, but to me, like Little Log Cabin, why just call it Tired Hands and throw the Little Log Cabin series, just like they do with their Brew Cafe series, just like they do with their Trendler Lagers, just like they do with, you know, their milkshakes. Like, they have series there, so just make it another one. Well, Jeff, you know, I don't think we were looking for like a grand resolution today. I think this was more of a, this is an interesting thing. And, you know, I'm interested to see if more breweries decide to do this. You know, it's definitely one way to handle expansion. It's definitely one way to keep an identity. But, you know, I think we both agree, which is nice. You know, breweries just expand on their own identity.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, we do agree. And but, you know, by the same token, we're wrong as often as we're right. And so,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I realize that we sort of spent this whole episode trashing the idea of the spinoff brewery. That's not going to stop us from drinking the beers from the spinoff breweries. No. It's kind of really just like, I wish I knew that this had come from the place that I already know. So, I mean, we're wrong as often as we're right. And we encourage our listeners to challenge us on this assumption. Maybe give us some more did you knows of offshoot breweries that have either overtaken the name of their original brewery, or you know, are equally as successful. You can do that on Instagram at ShelfiePod, on Twitter at ShelfiePod, or at Facebook.com/ShelfiePod. We are also on ShelfiePod.com. That's where we post our episodes, and you can leave comments for us there. You can subscribe to Take a Shelfie wherever you get your fine podcasts. And while you're doing that, please leave us a nice review. Here in our second season, we're really trying to expand our listenership. And the more five-star reviews we get, the more that these services are going to feature us. And we want more people to know about the show, because we want more people that we can talk about beer with. Honestly, that's really all there is to it. We want more people that we can talk about beer with. Matt, I've always enjoyed talking about beer with you, and we will continue to do that next week. For this week, that's all. I'm Jeff Martin.
And I'm Matt Prince.
Cheers.